We're going to hear a lot of songs from this album from the 70s, and we're going to be talking to Wayne about music, about the band, and what was going on in music back then in the 70s in Canada. So we're going to start with some new Australian music. This is a 7-inch single that's popped into the studio. It's a flip, double side, two different bands, the Holy Soul and the Bowerbirds. We've played for you the Holy Soul before, track off their new album. We're going to play you, first of all, the A-side here, Give It by the Bowerbirds. And they're a little confusing because their MySpace now says they're called the Bowers. I think because there's another band in the US somewhere called the Bowerbirds, so it kind of got confusing on MySpace. But they're still labeling their 7-inch the Bowerbirds, so a little bit confusing. But if you want to look at them on MySpace, go for Bower, AAU, because they're from Melbourne. So here we go. Let's see if we can get this 7-inch going here.
We'll be right back. control. You're out of 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 control.
Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
And Chris Horrific is in the building. He will be on at 1 o'clock. And after my show, Stranded, will of course be alternative radio. So that's coming up at midday. But for the next 45 minutes, we have Australian and Canadian music. And we just front loaded the show today with some new Australian music. Regular listeners know that we tend to do the older tracks first, but we've flipped it around for a very special reason, and I'll get to that soon. So we played for you two tracks from the split 7-inch single from the Bowerbirds and The Holy Soul. two bands from Australia, from Melbourne in particular. The Bowerbirds, Give It, and the flip side was That's All. So, but sandwiched in the middle was another garage rock track by the Russian Roulettes, and they're on that fantastic Off the Hip record label. Anyone who's digging around for premium Australian garage rock, you can't go past this label, offthehip.com.au, for more information. And they've just sent the studio a label sampler for 2010. And Russian Roulettes were on there at track 18. So, oh, gosh, there's great stuff to play in the coming weeks, like the Dolly Rocker Movement and, of course, the Pink Fits. So we'll get to some of those bands in the future. So, yeah, and so that split 7-inch single 2 has just popped into the singles, so Holy Soul and the Bowerbirds. And this is a really special day because I'm joined in the studio by a very special guest, Wayne Morris. Hello, Wayne.
Well, Matt, nice to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure. Wayne, we're going to devote the second half of the show to playing the band that Wayne was in the 70s. What exact years from beginning to end were...
Very quick history.
Well, and this is Painter, by the way. The band's called Painter.
Right. Yeah, very quick history. In the late 1960s, there was a group out of Calgary that was working in Los Angeles called the 49th Parallel. Hmm. In 1970, two of the members, Dan Lowe and Doran Beattie, changed the name of the band to Painter. Hmm. They released a single called Daybreak. And then about 4 months later, Christmas 1970, I went to Calgary for Christmas. I knew Dan and Doran, met up with them. We spent a couple of days together. 5 days later, New Year's Eve, they called me and said, "When can you be in Calgary?" I went out, joined the band. We toured for 2 years around Western Canada, wrote a lot of material. And in 73, we came back out here to play some shows. And one night, the Chambers Brothers, Time, walked into the club. Their manager fell in love with us. We met with them the next day, and 2 weeks later, we were assigned to Elektra Records, directly to the American label in Los Angeles. And that's how it happened.
It all began there. This and a lot of rock and roll adventures that ensued for Wayne and the other guys in Painter. And some listeners might know the track West Coast Woman, and we're going to be playing that because that still actually gets airplay here on the radio in Canada. Regular play. I guess that was the lead-off single from the album.
Yeah, that was. What happened was when we got to Seattle, we moved to Seattle because our engineer had just gone to work at K. Smith Studios there. And 2 days before our first session at K. Smith, we wrote West Coast Women in our hotel room. We recorded it, and I believe it was about 3 weeks later, Elektra released it. Excuse me. And what happened after that was stunning. A week later, we were on the Billboard Hot 100. And a week after that, we were number 78 with a bullet. And Elektra said, "Get in the studio and finish the album now." So that was July of 1973.
Well, you know what? We're going to play that track straight up to get people in the mood and to just get an idea of what we're talking about here. And then... we're going to sort of segue back into a little bit of Australian music, but from the era. So, this is going to be really fun here today. We're with Wayne, and we're going to straight up play West Coast Woman because it's a Canadian classic and just been re-released too. So here we go. This is Painter from the 70s.
West Coast Woman, get out.
Wow, there we had it. That's the single from 1973, West Coast Woman, from Painter, Vancouver band. And I'm very, very happy to be joined by Wayne Morris, bass player from Painter. And his pals in the band were Danny Lowe on lead guitar, Doran Beatty, vocals, Barry Allen on rhythm and rhythm guitar and vocals, and Bob Ego on drugs, on drums. on drums.
On drums, yes.
Yeah. That was it. That was the single, 1973. Wow. So, I mean, what more can you tell me about the one? What was going on right then?
It was a very interesting time because the '60s were such a learning experience and so expansive. I mean, so much new happened in that decade. Of course, fueled by the British invasion. But by 1970, there was this feeling that the 60s are dead. And for the first part of 1970, it was very, very lackluster. By 1971, 72, it was coming back. There was a new wave of rock and roll beginning. And of course, Zeppelin and The Who were still around. Hendrix was gone, but his music was huge. So the power trio was there.
Like The Who. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
The power trio with the lead vocalist. And, of course, disco started up in late 72. But that was a whole other synergy that was going on. In rock and roll, it was that power trio, which eventually led to what we now know today is heavy metal, even the touchings of punk, thrash, and even some goth rock.
And through
all
onto,
started to come out of that era.
And then through onto Nirvana.
Exactly. The whole grunge, as you say, Nirvana as a power trio again, which was a bit of a throwback. With, I can't say lyrically it was more sociology or social, because there was a lot of great messages in the music coming out of the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
It was just an extension of that, done in a bit different way.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't all protest music.
No, of course not. But when you listen to, for instance, the Beatles, they had their little stories they talked about, and most of the time it was something about love, I, you, me. When you read their autobiographies, you see that written down, but they wrote their messages within that, their social messages within that.
Yeah.
All you need is love.
Yeah.
Stop the war.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, you know, the Eastern spirituality influence that came in.
Exactly.
And all that.
That was really fueled by George Harrison, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so.
And just the whole psychedelic kind of milieu. Did you spend time in San Francisco at all?
Oh, yeah. We recorded down there a lot at Wally Heider's studio. That's where our engineer, Jim Gaines, was at the time. And that's where we actually started our American recording. So, yeah, we spent a lot of time down there. Union Street, Haight-Ashbury, of course. We were at Fillmore all the time. Billy Graham's great auditorium, and we saw the Dead in the early days, the starts of Carlos Santana, Tower of Power, the Jefferson Airplane. Wally Hyder's studio was incredible. There were three studios there. And in one night, you would have, excuse me, Jefferson Airplane going out of Studio A at 4 in the afternoon. By 6 o'clock, Crosby, Stills, and Nash & Young were down there. In Studio B on the second floor was Tower of Power, and we were in Studio C.
Wow.
So you go up to the coffee room, and you're standing there with Stephen Stills, Grace Slick, Mimi Castillo, Emilio Castillo from Tower of Power, just all these people. And you're sitting in the lounge with these legends.
Yeah.
Right? It's not how do you deal with that. It's just because they're making you part of it.
Yeah.
You're sitting there as an equal with them, and you just deal with life and the music, and you talk. And I remember sitting there one night with Stephen Stills and Graham Nash, and we sang Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, and I did David Crosby's part because he wasn't there. We were just jamming.
Yeah, 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 and becoming part of history.
Exactly. Just, wow.
Yeah, and, well, getting back to an Australian connection then, too, you at some stage toured with AC/DC.
We did some dates with AC/DC, yes, we did. It was we knew who they were, and we knew their music, and we weren't quite sure, obviously, what to expect, because every band is different. But when we met them, great guys, and boy, one of the most impressive live acts I've ever seen in my life. When they got to the stage, it was all business. They had a ball doing it. They did their crazy antics, but they were so professional, and it was just drive from start to finish. How Angus does it, I don't know.
Well, a great Australian band, and we're going to play a little bit of AC/DC here, but Back in Black, I know you toured with on the Black and Back in Black
era,
and being a purist, I guess I want to just throw back to before that, to the Bon Scott era, the Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap album, and I'm going to play a lesser-known track called Ride On. It's actually, it's a slower, mellow track, quite unusual for AC/DC, but it's a really neat song, and something that people may not have heard of, well, heard on the radio at least. So here's AC/DC from the Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap album, and we'll be back to talk with Wayne Morris from Painter, Vancouver band from the 70s, who've just re-released their seminal album, Painter. Okay, here we go, AC/DC.
Thank you. promise. Now I broke another heart, but I ain't too young to realize that I ain't too old to try to get back to the start. And it's another ticket. Going the wrong way. Gonna change my evil ways one of these days. One of these days.
Huh?
I mean, whatever happens, your toes are still tapping.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's hottest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
Do you like Biltmore? Do you like Biltmore?
Check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
And if you're a rock star, you're famous, and you rock out.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun, though, isn't it?
Hi, I'm John K. Sampson from the Weaker Thans, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
We'll be right back.
random beggar on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be. Check out everything in my stride. I don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't got nothing that I'd rather do. Going down for the time. My friends are gonna be there too, be there too.
And we're back here on CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the UBC campus in Vancouver. And you just heard there a really inventive cover of AC/DC's Highway to Hell by the great Ed Cooper from Brisbane. And before that was Ride On by AC/DC, the band, from the Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap album from the 70s. And we're talking a lot about the 70s today here with Wayne from Painter. Wayne, yeah, you're still with us for the rest of the day, and well, the rest of the hour. I'd like it to be the day, but we've only got an hour here, and we're going to be playing some more tracks off the recently released, re-released Painter album, a self-titled album. And Wayne, of course, toured with AC/DC and some other acts. Do you want to fill me in on?
Oh boy, you name it. From that era, we did three tours with Jethro Tull. I got to be very, very good friends with them, and they actually appeared on one of our albums later on in the 70s. We changed the name of the band to Hammersmith, moved from Elektra Records to Mercury Records out of Chicago. We did two albums with them, and Martin Barr from Jethro Tull was on one of those. We did three tours with Kiss.
Wow.
The American Destroyer Tour, the Canadian Destroyer Tour, and then a bit of a tour after that. We did shows with, the Stones, Brian Auger and the Oblivion Express, Lee Michaels, with the Grateful Dead. I mean, just you name a band from the 70s, and we probably did a show, at least one show, if not a partial tour or a full tour with them. It was just an amazing experience touring what at that time was the free world.
And so did you spend like most of your time actually in the States or mainly Canada? Like
most of our tours were American tours because, I mean, they're still 10 times the size of Canada. And the thing about the American tours, in Canada, if you want to do major venues, you have to do the major cities. In America, you can do 45 days in the Midwest alone. Chicago, Indianapolis, Minneapolis. And then you go to a place like DeKalb, Illinois, and you go, what's DeKalb, Illinois? Well, that's Illinois State University. There's 18,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible the amount of touring you can do in America.
Yeah. And you toured off the strength of this album, Painter, and we're going to play some more tracks here because there's some really interesting stories to go with some of these songs. So, which one would you like to play next?
Well, we were talking before we went on air about Home to Rock and Roll, which is track number four. That was our second single release, and the great story that goes with that is on December 9th, 1973, we went to Las Vegas to do a show at the Ice Palace, which at that time was the big rink, about 13,000 people. And we opened the show, and when we walked on, the crowd went crazy. The promoter was Les Brown Jr. His dad was Les Brown from the Band of Renown, who toured with Bob Hope for years. And he announced us, and the crowd went absolutely crazy, and we didn't know why, but the energy was amazing. That was the best show we ever did that night. After the show, we found out that West Coast Woman had been number one for 8 straight weeks in Las Vegas, and it had just dropped to number 2 on the charts and had been replaced at number 1 by our second release,
Under
Rock and Roll. And it was a track that we actually recorded in early 1972. So this is, well, like a year before we actually did the album session. So you will hear a bit of a difference in style between West Coast Woman and Home to Rock and Roll. This is more of just straightforward power rock and roll.
Well, we're going to play it now. That's an interesting story, that Las Vegas story. It sort of reminds me of actually when Nirvana toured Australia, they had booked all their dates in 92 before the album had come out. And when they arrived, so they were booked all these sort of university bars and all these little venues, and it was too late to change it.
And
so
kidding.
By then they were number one in the world, and the mythical story of my city was that apparently so many people showed up that they actually smashed the windows of the university bar because there were so many people trying to get in, and it was just a riot. And so this is just things that happen.
There are a lot of stories out there like that.
Well, let's play track 4 from the Painter album, Going Home to Rock and Roll.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power science world for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Just over 10 minutes left for Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show this week with your host Matthew and extra special guest Wayne from Painter, the great Vancouver band. And you just heard two fantastic tracks there from the 70s from the Painter album that's just been re-released. And you can find that through Wounded Bird Records. And this is, I guess, in some local shops here, I would hope.
Right now it's just online through Wounded Bird Records, which is a re-release classic album subsidiary of Elektra Records. And you can find them online.
Yeah.
You can Google it, Wounded Bird Records, and they have a full list. And you can get it through them.
Yeah. And Bob Ego, the drummer, mm-hmm. he's sort of been around, done a lot of things too. And
right. He, when he left us in 75, he joined Streetheart. Mm. He was the driving force behind most of those Streetheart hits. Mm. And then he joined Sabian, the Sabian Zildjian Company, Cymbal Company. And he moved to Las Vegas. He's been down there ever since.
Oh.
And he's just a monster.
He, yeah.
He's on YouTube and absolute monster drummer still today. Unbelievable. He was 17 years old when he cut this album.
Wow.
17 years old. And he was already a seasoned veteran.
Yeah.
Just amazing, amazing drummer.
Well, we've probably got time. We're going to play one more track and also another story. Do you have a story about the song we just played or what we're going to play?
Crazy Feeling. Yeah, this is one of the classic recording stories. When we finished recording the album in 73, the last night we were actually recording before we were mixing, we went to the local restaurant where we always had dinner. Well, we also partook of some very special ambrosia that night and got a little wasted. And then we went back to the studio and we discovered we were about 3 minutes short in track time. So we thought, what are we going to do? Which out of our songbook? We got to pick a song to put on the album. Hmm. Well, at that moment, our guitar player, Danny Lowe, just ding, 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 sitting in the corner, and then Bob and I joined in. And before we knew it, Doran was writing lyrics, and within half an hour, all of us, pretty hammered, had written Crazy Feeling, and that night we just kind of propped ourselves up and cut that track.
Wow.
All that energy that was there, and it was just... We had an absolute ball recording that song, and you can hear it, the energy in that song, because it was so fresh.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to do it.
Wow. Well, that was brilliant. And 2:45, nice short song. You can find that on the Painter album, and you can go to Google. The Wounded Bird Records is the re-release. The label is putting it out, the re-release.
Yep.
And what we're going to play now is a live track called Shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about this?
This track, it's on YouTube, Painter Live Shipwrecked. We have about 40 tracks on YouTube between Painter and Hammersmith.
Mm.
This specific track is from a live show we did in March of 1974 at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., about 18,000 people. Mm. And we had been in Detroit prior to that, the weekend prior, and we had a week before the show in Washington. So we went to Washington Monday morning and spent the most incredible week, one of the most incredible weeks of my life. I'm a political, social junkie.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm.
History. And to be in Washington, standing right there at the White House in those days, going to the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, Arlington National Cemetery, and I actually spent a day and part of a night with a security guard by myself in the Smithsonian Institute in the Aviation Museum, touching spacecraft that had been to the moon. And I also spent a day in the viewing chamber, the visitor's chamber, the upper deck above the United States Senate in the middle of the Watergate hearings. And right there, 25 feet below me, was the President Pro Tem of the Senate, which was the Vice President of the United States, Spiro Agnew, and Senator Howard Baker, Sam Ervin, Teddy Kennedy. All these people were right there below me, and I watched them do business. It was just, what an incredible experience, and it's something I'll remember till the day I die.
Wow. And so this track we're going to play was...
This is live. And I should just mention, you mentioned there's five of us on the album.
Mm.
Barry Allen was only actually with us for about 7 months. He was one of our engineers, and he joined us on stage for about 7 months. The band was actually a four-piece band.
Mm.
Guitar, bass, drums, and Doran singing. And this track live that you're about to hear is just the four of us, and it sounds like eight.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is live... March of 1974 at the Kennedy Center.
Okay,
Washington,
this is
D.C.
Vancouver band Painter from the 70s. Here we go.
Here's a song called Shipwrecked. It's going to be a twist on a love song. Rescue me.
This is Randy Randall from No Age. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so we're just wrapping up the show here, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and we're on to alternative radio right now. Thanks so much for Wayne Morris for coming in and playing Painter.
It was a pleasure being here.
Oh,
great,
man.
To talk to everybody.
Really great stories.
Hello, Oz.
Yeah, hello, Australia. This is a podcasted, of course, and Painter, the album from 1973, has been re-released on Wounded Bird Records, and you can find that online. So go to Google. And we'll be back next week with more Australian and Canadian music. Here is Alternative Radio. Have yourself a fantastic day.
Yes, I came to a conclusion that war cannot be tolerated, no matter what we're told. And if we think that there are good wars, and if therefore, well, maybe this is a good war, I wanted to examine the so-called good wars, the holy wars, and take a good look at them and think again about the phenomenon of war and come to the conclusion, yes, war cannot be tolerated.
That's Howard Zinn, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Howard Zinn on three holy wars. Howard Zinn was perhaps this country's premier radical historian. He literally changed the way we looked at history by emphasizing the resistance and triumphs of ordinary people. He was born in Brooklyn in 1922. His parents